I'm welcoming back Sarah Olney to Radio Jackie. You're the Liberal Democrat MP for Richmond Park and North Kingston, and you're also the Liberal Democrat spokesperson for the Cabinet. You recently debated that VAT on private school fees will deter private schools from engaging with state schools, which would be a huge loss. You actually used an example of how Lowther Primary School in Barnes uses the swimming facilities at St Paul's Boys' School. So it's often overlooked, as you say, how much private schools engage with state schools. How do you think we can get around this one? How do you think the government should react to this?
Well, that came up in the context of a broader debate about VAT on school fees, which I'm sure your listeners will know is part of the Labour government's plans for funding education in this new parliament. The Liberal Democrats remain opposed to those plans. Ultimately, we don't think we should be taxing education in any way. Putting taxes on things deters people from purchasing them, and we don't think there should ever be a limit on how much we shouldn't be deterring people from buying education services, however they're provided. But yeah, I think there's a lot more. I think there are great opportunities, particularly in our local area, for private schools to reach out to, to fulfill the charitable functions and the charitable purpose that many of them have, and just to and to engage with their local state schools and indeed other parts of the community, and to think about how they can support the education of the wider community. I think that's a really, really important part of what private schools should be doing. And Liberal Democrat policy is very much to support and encourage that kind of activity. I mentioned, as you said, in my speech in Parliament, Lowther Primary School. I did a visit there a couple of weeks ago. It was lovely, actually, in that speech to be able to name the pupils who took me around the tour. And I sent them a copy of the Hansard afterwards, and they were very pleased. But they've got a really good partnership going on with St Paul's Boys' School just up the road, and that's the sort of thing we want to see more of.
Absolutely. And also, they have actually said they're going to think about what Streeting said. He's going to have the NHS engaging more with the private sector in health. So it seems picking out the private schooling sector is slightly unfair, don't you think?
This proposal to put VAT on school fees, I feel, as I say, Liberal Democrats are opposed to it, but I do think there's a bit of misdirection here because they're talking about closing tax loops or private schools getting tax breaks or whatever, and I just think that that's a real misrepresentation of what actually happens here. We don't tax education because we don't want to limit people's ability to purchase it. So it feels quite ideological by the Labour Party, and I don't think it's necessary. And I think a lot of the disruption that it might cause, particularly bringing in this change halfway through the school year, is ultimately going to cause more problems than it solves, particularly for those children who are going to find themselves forced to change school. I think that will be hugely disruptive for them, and some unnecessary change, I think.
And I think a lot of middle-income parents actually struggle to send their children to private school. I don't think the government have any idea of what sort of impact it will have on the state sector if these private school pupils start looking for places in the state sector, do they?
That's right. I mean, those particular students whose parents won't be able to afford the increased fees are one reason to worry. But actually, of course, and I've been speaking to some of the private schools in the constituency, and the bigger worry is that if they lose, say, 10 to 15% of their students, or that smaller number, then in actual fact, the whole school operation then becomes unviable. They will have to close their doors, and then all of the students at that school will then be looking for new places, whether in other private schools or in the state sector. So, there are big reasons to be concerned, and in particular, there are a lot of young people with special educational needs who are, for whatever reason, being educated in the private sector. Some of them have what's called an educational health and care plan. And the government has said that if you're getting a private sector education because you're on an EHCP, then you won't have to pay VAT. But there are a lot of children who are receiving a specialised education of one sort or another, but not with an EHCP. And those are the children that I think I'm really concerned about myself and my Liberal Democrat colleagues.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on to Hammersmith Bridge.
Hooray!
I know, our favourite
Yes.
subject. Recent announcement that it's going to be closed to enable jacking to replace seized bridge bearings, hopefully opening the door to solving the bridge problem. I understand you're having a meeting, is it with Simon Lightwood soon? About the
Indeed. In
bridge.
fact, I'm having the meeting today.
Yay.
So I will be meeting him later this afternoon, myself and some of the other local MPs that were affected. So the MPs for Putney, for Hammersmith, for Brentford and Isleworth, we're all seeing increased volumes of traffic because of the closure of the bridge, and we're all working together to see what can be done to resolve it. So I'm looking forward to that meeting. I take it as a positive step that the meeting has been called, and I think that goes to show that the new government are more committed to finding solutions than the old government. So I'm obviously really, really keen to see what he has to say, and I'll be reporting back to my constituents as soon as I can. If they want to sign up to my newsletter, if I can quickly plug that. But yes, I mean, work is progressing. I think there's a reasonable degree of confidence that the bridge will be reopened to cyclists by April 2025. But as I say, look forward to this meeting today, but just keep pushing for solutions because the delays are completely unacceptable. And I think apart from anything else, what's been frustrating is we keep asking for updates, we keep asking and saying, what's going to be done, and it's very much kicking the can down the road. So if at the very least the government could focus on what the issues are, what the issues that are presented by the continued closure of the bridge, and work to resolve some of those instead of constant sort of like, well, acting as if this is just a temporary closure and it's going to be resolved at some point. I think that would make a big difference. But there is I will continue to fight for the bridge to be reopened.
Yeah, well, hopefully you can get it right at the top of his agenda because I've been scouting through X and he hasn't mentioned Hammersmith Bridge yet. So
No,
I'm hoping to see something.
it'll be top of his agenda by the end of the day, I can promise you.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, moving on, you mentioned in your newsletter a top-up allowance being offered by Richmond Council to pensions who've lost out on the winter fuel payment. How is that going to work and who will be eligible to apply?
So, I mean, this is all about with the cuts to the winter fuel allowance announced by the government. So, only people now claiming pension credit will be eligible for winter fuel allowance. So, the first thing to say is do check to see if you're eligible for pension credit. It is you can go to Citizens Advice Bureau or check online if you're eligible. And I think that's really important that people do that if they're worried about losing their winter fuel allowance. But we also know that there's a lot of people who are not eligible for winter fuel allowance, who are nevertheless going to struggle to pay their fuel bills this winter, not least because the energy cap is going up again. So the Richmond Council for Richmond residents is introducing a top-up allowance. Again, you will need to contact the council to see if you're eligible, but hopefully it will ease the minds of some of those who are losing their winter fuel allowance but don't qualify for pension credit. So there is a little bit of extra support there for help with winter fuel bills. So I'm really pleased that the council are offering that.
Yeah, I think we talked about the pension credit form, and it's an arduous document. It's
Yes,
very
I
long.
know, I
And
know.
but if people do actually fill it in and do then become eligible for pension credit, it's going to open up the door for many other allowances, like help with their TV licenses, help with their mortgage. If everybody did it, it's going to end up costing Rachel Reeves
I know.
more money than
Well, I
she's saving.
mean, yes, I'm sure the Chancellor is a very clever woman. I'm sure she's thought of this. Having said that, you're absolutely right. It does. I mean, it's things like free eye tests as well, I
Yes,
think.
our
But
dental care.
there's a whole in dental care, there's a whole range of things that you can get additional support for if you're eligible. It's a kind of, if you like, it's a marker for the fact that you're on a low income. So I would really urge people to sign up for it anyway. Right, that the form is really onerous, but as I say, you can get advice, Citizens Advice Bureau, and they will should be able to help you complete the form. But yes, yes, you're right about the extra cost. But I think the important thing to say is also it does help a lot with the cost of living. And if people are getting that extra help, yes, that's a direct cost at one end, but also, if it helps people, their physical and their mental health, or it helps with their all-round welfare, or it just helps people to be able to stay in their homes by themselves for longer and not need to rely on social care, then there are, potentially other cost savings to be made. But these things are quite tricky, I think, to calculate. All I want to say to my constituents and to anyone else who's listening is check out your eligibility for pension credit.
And go for it. I mean, I think there are companies online that would actually help people to fill these forms
Yes,
in.
there are definitely sources of help and advice, so have a look.
So we'll finish up with the next time we speak, it will be post-budget. And given that the revenue for the UK government in 2024 is approaching an awful large figure, how important do you think it is to fill this black hole? It's been quoted 22 billion, but it could go up to 40 billion once she's paid for the doctors and the rail workers. Do you think we need more taxation and benefit cuts, or will the money come from other revenues? I mean, the government have already said they're going to borrow more.
I think this £22 billion black hole is, this is something that the Chancellor was talking about just after the general election. It was very much, dare I say, it's a bit about political game playing. The Tories have left the economy in an even worse situation than we thought they did, and I think it's a bit of what we call pitch rolling. I just want you all to understand it's really, really terrible. So when I announce these tax rises and spending cuts, I've had no choice. So I mean, it's a bit of that. So I'm not going to pretend that we're in a bad state financially. I think the Chancellor has got a lot of incredibly difficult decisions to make. I think there's a lot of talk in various newspapers about some of the tax rises that she might impose. Certainly, we're hearing on the grapevine that some ministers are unhappy with the spending that's being proposed. And I think the other point you make there about borrowing, that's what she's potentially adjusting the fiscal rules means that it would be okay to borrow more than had previously been allowed. So I think there's just no doubt with the government has inherited this really dire economic situation from the Tories. So those are going to be difficult decisions. What the Liberal Democrats have proposed in our 2024 manifesto, various revenue raises, you could reverse cuts to the taxes on the banks, you could introduce a proper windfall tax for oil and gas firms, a tax on social media giants. I think there are things that the Labour government should be looking at that don't require them to raise taxes on working people as they committed in their manifesto, but would nevertheless go some way to providing our public services and particularly our NHS with the additional funding that it so desperately needs.
Super. Well, I look forward to hearing the Liberal Democrat response during the budget. So, unless there's anything else you want to add, we'll wind it up for now.
No, that's fine. Thank you. Pleasure. Thanks. Good to see you, Jackie.
And look forward to you speaking next time post budget. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. We're all different then.
Absolutely. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.